Good morning. It's Friday, August the 9th, in the year of our Lord 2024. I'm J.D. Walt, and this is your wake-up call. It's going to be a good day. People are going to be in a good mood, and they're going to be receptive to good sowers. So let's jump in this morning. Let's prepare ourselves for the day. Let's win the morning. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, Do You Really Believe the Eternal Implications of the Gospel of Jesus Christ? Our text is Acts chapter 26, verses 25 to 32. Hear now the word of the Lord. I am not insane, most excellent Festus, Paul replied. What I am saying is true and reasonable. The king is familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice, because it was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do. Then Agrippa said to Paul, Do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? Paul replied, Short time or long, I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains. The king rose, and with him the governor and Bernice and those sitting with them. After they left the room, they began saying to one another, This man is not doing anything that deserves death or imprisonment. Agrippa said to Festus, This man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. The word of the Lord. Just reprising here a bit. Now consider this. Reprising. Agrippa said to Paul, Do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? I marvel at Paul's faith. His faith went far beyond mere belief. It went beyond conviction. Paul's faith rose to the level of a knowing that went beyond certainty. Think of it this way. We don't believe the sky is blue. We know it is blue. Paul didn't believe the power of the gospel. He knew it. And because he knew it as an irrefutable verity, he felt an urgency to share it with everyone he possibly could. He understood the immediate and eternal consequences of life without Jesus. As a result, he wanted everyone in the room, from King Agrippa to the lowest servant in the chamber, to hear and believe the gospel. Here's the hard question I ask myself. Do I believe that people who do not know and follow Jesus Christ are eternally doomed? I mean, do I really believe it? Yes, I believe that. But if you looked at my actions, would you see evidence that I believed it? Would you see an unswerving passion and boldness to share this message with every person I possibly could? I fear not. It reminds me of a story I first heard from my friend Bill Kearse almost 30 years ago. It's the story of Charlie Peace, one of the most notorious criminals in England in the latter part of the 19th century. Leonard Ravenhill, in his book Why Revival Tarries, recounts the last moments of Charlie Peace's life. He was taken on the death walk. Before him went the prison chaplain, routinely and sleepily reading some Bible verses. The criminal touched the preacher and asked what he was reading. "The Consolations of Religion," was the reply. Charlie Peace was shocked at the way he professionally read about hell. Could a man be so unmoved under the very shadow of the scaffold as to lead a fellow human there and yet dry-eyed read of a pit that has no bottom into which this fellow must fall? Could this preacher believe the words that there is an eternal fire that never consumes its victims, and yet slide over the phrase without a tremor? Is a man human at all who can say with no tears, "You will be eternally dying," and yet never know the relief that death brings? All this was too much for Charlie Peace. "Sir," he addressed the preacher, "if I believed what you and the Church of God say that you believe, even if England were covered with broken glass from coast to coast, I would walk over it, if need be, on hands and knees, and think it worthwhile living just to save one soul from an eternal hell like that." Do we really believe it? Let's invite the Holy Spirit to search us on that question. The time may be short. The prayer of transformation. Lord Jesus, I am your witness. I long to be like you. And of course, I know the secret for me to be like you requires for you to be in me. And so in that spirit, I pray I receive your righteousness and release my sinfulness. I receive your wholeness and release my brokenness. I receive your fullness and release my emptiness. I receive your peace and release my anxiety. I receive your joy and release my despair. I receive your healing and release my sickness. I receive your love and release my selfishness. And yes, Lord Jesus, I receive your urgency and I release my apathy, even my unbelief. Come, Holy Spirit, transform my heart, mind, soul, and strength, that I might become the love of God, that my consecration becomes your demonstration, that our lives become your sanctuary. For the glory of God our Father, amen. our journal prompts today. So, do you believe it? When is the last time you shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with another person, particularly with a lost person? We're going to sing here in a minute our closing hymn. It's one, it's a classic. It's a Fanny Crosby, Rescue the Perishing. If you want to go ahead and find your page, it's number 457 in our Seedbed Hymnal, our Great Redeemer's Praise, 457, Rescue the Perishing. We're going to sing it in a minute. But let's just make camp here a few more minutes together and deal with this a little more. Paul was just going for it, right? He's got the audience with the king, and Jesus, you know, we remember, he says, well, you know what? You're going to stand before governors and kings, and don't worry about what to say, because I'm going to tell you what to say. And so the Holy Spirit is speaking the words of Jesus through Paul to King Agrippa. And he says, do you believe it? Basically, King Agrippa, do you believe this? Do you believe the prophets? I know you do. And then Agrippa's response, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? That's so great. And Paul says, you know what? Short time or long, I care not. I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains. That, my friends, if you want to look up the definition of boldness in the dictionary, it's going to say, see Acts 26, 25 to 32, and it's going to have a picture of the Apostle Paul. And you're going to see the radiance of Jesus on his face, the Holy Spirit beaming through his eyes. As he's just like, I'm here to tell you about Jesus, King Agrippa. I'm here to talk to you about Jesus. You know, increasingly, that's kind of what I feel like I'm doing. You're like, of course you're doing it. But I'm like, you know, one of the prayers, I believe, is in the Sower's Creed, which we got to get that back out. It's in the back of the journal every day. It says, today I will sow the extravagance of the gospel everywhere I go and with everyone I meet. That's the invitation, isn't it? That's not necessarily inviting everyone you meet. It's not trying to ask them, are you saved? And going over the plan of salvation with them. It could be that. That's a great thing to do, but it's just being attuned and knowing that Jesus is willing and wooing every single person on this earth. The Holy Spirit's at work in every single person. The Bible tells us the Spirit's been poured out on all flesh and drawing everyone to faith in Jesus Christ. So you're not the setup person. The Spirit has set things up. You're the closer. Or maybe you're the, you know, witness number 479 out of 480. You just don't know where you are, but you know that you are witnessing to everyone you meet. Jesus is bearing witness through you of his goodness, of his love, of his longing to embrace, to become the shepherd, the Lord, the Savior, the rescuer of every person you come in contact with. I don't know. I want to grow in that consciousness. I was in the airport a week or so ago. I was down on my way to Florida, and I was preaching down there in a church, and I just felt at the end of the sermon, I just sensed the Lord just on me. And I said, guys, I didn't come down here to go to the beach. I came here for you. I came here to invite you to give your life wholly and unreservedly to Jesus. Will you do it? I asked him. It's kind of like, do you believe this? There's an urgency in our time. And that urgency need not produce anxiety. Really, it's the urgency that leads to peace. And people need to be invited. People need to be called, cared for, loved. It's not like we're trying to discharge a duty. No, we're exercising a great opportunity, a great love. I love that Charlie Peace story. And I don't want to get into a debate about hell with anybody today. I mean, I just suffice it to say, hell is real. Let's not argue over how hot the fire is. Let's not argue over annihilationism or eternal burning. Let's not get lost in that conversation, okay? Just suffice it to say, hell is real. And people without Jesus will spend eternity without God. And that's the urgency that we want to carry. The Spirit wants to inspire in us as we move about this world. Today, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Wake up, sleepers. Rise from the dead, I'm saying. And Christ will shine on you. Okay, we're going to sing. For you folks who don't want to sing, God bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. And I just sent you out to sow. But for the rest who want to sing, we're going to sing a classic hymn, Rescue the Perishing. It's on point today. Fanny Crosby, 4 verses. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Though they are slighting him, still he is waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently, he will forgive if they only believe. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that are broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it, strength for your labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them, tell the poor wanderer the Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Amen. What a song. Thank you, Fanny Crosby, rock star. Well, it's Friday. That song, it's a sobering song, but it puts me in a good mood, and I sent you too. Guys, let's go for it today. Let's pray for the boldness of the Apostle Paul. Like, do you believe this, King Agrippa? You know, time is short. And God is good. And we're his witnesses. And this is our shift. This is our time. And remember, you know what? Before you talk to people about God, talk to God about people. Be attuned. Be attentive. This is not about notching notches on your gospel gunslinger belt. This is about love. We're participating in the movement of Jesus. Get your seeds, friends. I'll see you on the field. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.